Well, I don't know if it's true everywhere, but icy night in the upper Midwest. Accidents outside my house. And careful wherever you're driving tonight. They're getting ready for Thanksgiving. We all want to be around for Thanksgiving and always these great end-of-the-year shows on Coast to Coast. Last night had a really good time with open lines. We'll do a little bit more open lines in this first hour, but there will be a strong theme running through them, and that's this photo that we have just posted at coasttocoastam.com. As promised last night, there was a photograph that was sent to me by James Childs, author, regular guest on Coast to Coast. And Jim sent the photo a couple of weeks ago, said he didn't really know what this was. He's not anxious to claim that he knows what it is. What we know about Jim is, of course, is that he is a man of science and a man of integrity. He comes on the show talking about disasters and how certain things line up just wrong and create some of the worst disasters, technological disasters of our time. And so he's not saying he knows what it is. He's just saying it's something. It's a photograph. It's a photograph he took that he'll tell us more about coming up in just a second. But it's up. It's online. It's there right now at coasttocoastam.com. I'll describe it a little bit for people who can't possibly get to a computer to look at it. But what I'm hoping for is when we throw open the lines, we'll be talking to some folks who may bring some perspective to what that is in that photo. It's a shot of the sky. James Childs will explain more about it coming up in just a second. Something is there. It's an anomaly of some sort. At coasttocoastam.com, it's listed as atmospheric anomaly, but that's just because that's the only thing we knew what to call it. In the end, who knows what, at the end of this hour, what we might end up calling it. But take a look online, coasttocoastam.com, and find out what you think it is. Also coming up next hour, the Book of English Magic. Why England? With the release of the Harry Potter movie this weekend, with the long history of magic in the UK, what is unique about English magic? What do we learn from English magic? And why this small piece of earth? Why this small island? Why does it seem to be the center point of the most ancient magic around? Coming up on Coast to Coast, this is Ian Punnett. James Childs is the author of The God Machine, From Boomerangs to Black Ox, as well as Inviting Disaster, the book that first got him national attention, and the book that still pops up from time to time in that four-part series they did on the History Channel on it, and as a frequent guest here on Coast to Coast. Good night, Jim.
Hi, Ian. Thanks for having me.
Yep. All right, so here's the story. Jim sent this email a couple of weeks ago, said, I don't know what this is, but it's something. It's something weird, and it is, and we've posted it at coasttocoastam.com. Well, let's start first with the heads up on what your hobby is. You like to take pictures of clouds.
I'm a cloud chaser.
Yeah. What does that mean? What does that mean, and what were you doing at the time you took the photo that we've put up on the webpage?
Well, I'd been doing this for about a year, taking photographs of clouds and all their glory. And so whenever the clouds are moving around, and if I'm not at work, then I'm usually out there with a camera or a tripod or both.
Okay.
At this particular time, which I have pretty much nailed down as May 16th, 2009, I was in the backyard taking pictures of a cloud deck with a contrail moving along the base of that cloud deck, and the cloud had an interesting look about it, so I took pictures over a 15-minute space with just a simple Olympus, and I actually put a picture of the camera on my blog.
Right.
So I've updated my blog site so people have a little more detail.
Yeah, yeah. We linked that to our webpage, too, so if you go to coasttocoastam.com, you can link on to the blog as well as to the photograph. So simple photograph, simple thing. You do this all the time. You take a lot of pictures. While you were shooting the picture of that contrail cutting through the clouds, did you notice the blue ring, this sort of opaque blue ring that was in contrast to the rest of the sky?
No, I didn't. you could have put me under all the lights and interrogation in the world, and I would not have said a peep because I didn't notice it. It's this kind of camera that doesn't have a viewfinder at all, so you really can't even see what you're taking. And it didn't strike me at all. I just loaded it onto the folders in my computer because the camera can't hold all these. You know, they're adding up to thousands of photographs over 3 years. And then noticed when I was going through it this spring, about a year later, that flipping through the pictures, just seeing which ones to keep and which ones to ditch. Although it's not very large, like you can see on the image, it's a pretty small portion of the image. It just struck me as something to zoom in on and
sure.
See what
and see I, what I it was.
It just didn't. No logical explanation came to me. So talked to my brothers about it and some friends, and eventually came to you.
Yep. Thank you. And I said this is definitely worth putting up and then asking people on the webpage, or if you want to, go quickly, grab a line. We've got open lines on Coast to Coast. And for people, anybody out there who might have an expert opinion, who might be pilots, who might be, for that matter, they also might also be photographers. What is it that's in that photo? To describe it, to be accurate, it's sort of we called it an atmospheric anomaly because it looks like either almost like a smoke ring of a cloud, right? You could say that. You could say it looks like almost as though a saucer-shaped vessel of some sort was in the shape of was being formed by a cloud. It looks almost like a jellyfish in the sky.
Very regular, yes. I think of it as a plasma ring, but it's one of those things that's the tabula rasa, they call it, where people can look at it and interpret it different ways. It is what it is, whatever
right.
That is.
Well, talk about plasma ring. What do you mean by that when you say that? Because I thought that's an interesting idea. But what would it mean to have a plasma ring in the sky that you happen to catch on that photograph?
Well, it would be hard to explain why there would be a plasma ring in the sky. What I mean by a plasma ring is ionized gas that glows. You know, normally you don't see that outside of lightning bolts or something like that. And so this is unusual because it's so regular. The way I interpreted it on my blog is that imagine it's a ring and it's viewed obliquely, meaning at an angle. And so I imagine you throw a frisbee on the ground and you look at it from the side. It's not a circle. It's an ellipse. You
know, but it seems to have some. Seems to have some dimension to the ellipse.
Yes, it seems fairly regular, and it to me it's brighter on the edges, the far edges, and that's what suggested to me a plasma or a glowing ring, and it's got a little bright spot in the center. And then when I turned up the contrast on it with Earth on view, then a little arc appeared, which made it even more intriguing.
The arc in the middle, you mean, or
there's an arc on the left, on the lower left.
Oh, right. Okay, I see that.
Very faint blue arc that's only really visible when you dial up the contrast, and of course,
right.
It's pretty grainy because it's just a little bit of a larger photograph.
So if you go to coasttocoastam.com, you can both click onto the photograph, and then the link will take you to James Childs's blog, where you can get a better idea about the story of this particular shot. And it doesn't have to be anything we settle tonight. But we threw open the lines on Coast to Coast to see whether anybody out there might recognize what this is. We'll take a couple of these. Jim, you want to take them with me?
Sure, I'd be happy to.
Okay, and then we'll go to open lines for the rest of this hour. So just for a few minutes yet, if you take a look at it at coasttocoastam.com and then call us like Tom is willing to wonder, what's in that photograph, Tom? Hey, Tom.
Are you talking Tom
yeah.
in Omaha?
Yeah.
Yes, well, I say it is actually, in fact, lens flare.
Tell me about lens flare.
If you look at the photograph, you see in the upper right where the sun is, you can see the sun causing some burn on the upper right. And the sun is shining on the lens at an odd angle.
Okay.
And
do you think
that's actually within the lens itself, the front element of the lens.
Now, Jim, you're a man of science. Do you accept that explanation, just a simple lens flare, a little sun flare in the lens?
Well, my mind is open. I have taken quite a few photographs, and so I know what flare is like. it could be something optical, but I was looking north, and the sun is quite a ways from north in Minnesota in May. But you know, my mind is open.
Okay. All right. Thanks, Tom. Appreciate that. Now, I think that in the end, I mean, we may not know, and somebody may do what so often happens here on Coast to Coast is they'll take this photograph and they'll run it through its paces. They'll take the photograph on their own time and see if they can't analyze it, blow it up, look for whatever it is they're going to see in it. So who knows the kinds of responses you might get. If somebody wanted to, a week from now, get in touch with you and say, okay, here's my analysis of it. I'm a physicist, and here I'm going to give you my analysis of it. How would somebody get in touch with you? Can they do this through your blog?
I would say, you know, there's a comment space. It's a typical blog spot. And I would start there because that makes it, just like Tom, you know, it's good to get those opinions out there and see what other people think, because certainly they're very experienced photographers that have seen all kinds of things I haven't seen. So I would say that's what blogs are for. Get a courteous okay. and civil and informed and just a mind-expanding discussion, and that'd be great because I don't know what it is, and that's kind of why I came to you, because you have
sure.
access to so many other cool people out there.
Well, on your blog, you say you're pretty sure it's not a lens flare given the direction the camera was pointing, and you do say...
I would be surprised. I guess I'd say that, but...
Yeah. But you also said you checked with a few contacts in the world of physics. What did they tell you it was?
Well, it was pretty much the same thing Tom said, is that it didn't strike them as anything particularly odd. They said it's probably some lens flare or else some kind of a digital processing glitch. And I couldn't think of any great explanation either. The only thing I could come up with, and I describe it just very briefly as a, you might call it a holy hypothesis, meaning it's got holes
right.
in it, with some kind of high-speed object that breaks up in the upper atmosphere. And such
sure.
things have happened, but it you know, doesn't quite seem to look like that either.
Right.
But it just may be something that we, you know, how we come across new phenomena, just maybe a lucky shot of a new phenomenon. We'll hear more about it.
I like that. A lucky shot of a new phenomenon. So whether, and that may be why somebody doesn't recognize right away what it is. Go take a look, coasttocoastam.com, and I'm going to take a, we'll go to some other open line calls. Doesn't have to be about this open line this hour on Coast to Coast. Grab the numbers from the webpage if you want, and we'll go to open lines here coming up. But if you want to revisit this later on, you can. Let me ask you one other thing. You have not seen this before. This has never come up before on one of your photographs, and you hadn't seen it in any of the other ones that you downloaded that day.
That's correct. One within a minute ahead of time, and it wasn't in any of the other photographs either before or after that. And I took a sequence of about 15 to 20 photographs. You know how digital images are? They're cheap. You just
right.
take them and then you can throw them away if you don't like them. So, that's why I was kind of lucky. It was a series of photographs taken in fairly short order. So I could see the contrail moving. And then in this one shot, there was the ring and then it wasn't there anymore.
Is there anything that you're near, by the way, where you live here in the upper Midwest? Do you live near an airport? Do you live near
Minneapolis, St. Paul? Airport.
Okay. All right. So you live near there. Do you get any activity from any military aircraft?
I haven't. Well, there are some low flying OC-130s and a heck of a lot of helicopters.
Right. But nothing that would explain this.
No, not in my. And I also write for Air and Space, so fairly familiar with the general field of aviation.
Right.
And in fact, I went to the B-2 base, so I even got to see some of the stealthy ones. I actually got to climb into the flight deck of a B-2 stealth bomber.
Oh, how cool is that?
With permission.
I love that. All right, we'll take one other quick call for you, then we'll go to open lines on Coast to Coast. Let's go first-time caller line. This is Jim in Michigan for Jim Childs. Go ahead, Jim.
Hi, gentlemen. How are you this evening?
Good. You looked at the photograph at coasttocoastam.com.
I did, and mostly I just walked in from outdoors, and I happened to hear what you're talking about, and me and my wife were standing outside looking at something weird. The moon is full and extremely bright. As you look in the sky, there's a huge circle through the clouds that's perfectly circular around the moon. You can't see any stars anywhere else, but it almost looks like the beams of light coming from the moon have cleared out the clouds in a perfect circle. I was wondering if you might have any idea what that would be. I've never seen anything like that before.
That's interesting. Go ahead, Jim.
a moon dog. It makes me want to run outside there.
Yeah, kind of like a sun dog. Like a sun dog, but a moon dog.
I'm curious. I've been walking my dogs for the last half an hour watching this, and it's the most amazing thing I've seen in quite some time.
I'm heading out there to take a look at it.
Okay, well, maybe we'll all take a look here at the bottom of the hour. Thanks for that. Let me get to Terry in North Carolina, who has seen the photograph at coasttocoastam.com. Terry, what is that thing that's in that, what's the atmospheric anomaly that's in the photograph that we've got featured there on the webpage?
Well, I think you've either you got a lens issue here, or you've got an issue with your digital sensor. I've been working with digital cameras since they were invented, and I've corrected over 500,000 images. I'm sitting here looking at this, and I've seen it a number of times. The gentleman that was talking about the lens flare could be very much on the mark. The upper right corner of the image has more light than the rest of the image, and the way that it lines up almost identically with the ray would indicate that it's a lens flare. And if it's not a lens flare, something else that does that exact same thing is dust on the digital sensor in the camera. And frankly, it can be there at one point and then not be there at the next as you turn the cameras on and off.
But wouldn't you see it again sometime? I mean, if it's an actual physical speck of dust, if it doesn't show up every time, but how would it just show up one out of 1,000 times?
Well, it has everything to do with the critical angle of the lens.
Okay.
You know, if you're trying to aim a lens spot through a lens onto a particular point, it has to be held precisely to put the spot on the same point. And so, no, you're not going to see it in consecutive images. We shoot multiple images through our cameras, one generally right after the next, and as we move even a little bit, those type of anomalies that I end up with in my images go away. So it is a precise angle, and that's exactly what it looks like. I mean, I correct those type of things out of my images quite regularly.
Very good. Thank you, Terry. Well, Jim, maybe that's all that it is, but in the meantime, it kind of looks like, to me, if I could draw an image for people who can't see it, it looks like the top of a battery, a little bit, just like you'd see on the top of a battery, but just in a faint cloud-like image of that. And it's worth looking at and wondering about. And let us know if you ever get a definitive answer one way or another.
Very good, Jim? Very good.
I
really appreciate the feedback.
No, I'm looking forward to seeing what comes up with this. Go take a look online at coasttocoastam.com and say hi to your darling wife. Let's go west of the Rockies. Bill is in Central Coast, California for open lines, just regular old-fashioned open lines on Coast to Coast. Bill?
Hey, good evening. A pleasure to talk to you. I've been watching this stuff and watching weather and surfing. I'm an old surfer, fisherman, and there's been some very interesting things going on outside of Vandenberg, where I teach junior high school. And to me, it looks very similar, but at a different time of day as some of the photos that I saw of the mystery missile out of Santa Monica Bay.
Yeah.
Vandenberg is
the one we were talking about like 10 days
ago.
Right. The one that they say is I thought they came up with even the time and the place and the name of the flight and the whole bit for what caused that, what they think was they call the mystery missile shot. Right? Didn't they come up with an actual plane and what time it would have taken off in the trajectory?
Yeah, but if you look at the flight pattern from this part of the coast, there is so much closed airspace. That thing went straight through where you cannot go. And, you know, I drive to work at 5 in the morning. I've seen all kinds of very odd contrails. That was the weirdest one I've seen in the evening. That, in viewing this shot, if you look at the contrails, they're the same San Francisco to L.A. Contrails that you see every day up here, between living right in the point-blank middle between San Francisco,
right,
San Jose, and L.A., you know?
Okay. Well, I take your word for it. In fact, I think that's interesting. Let me get to a couple other people that are coming up if you want to on this before the end of the hour, or go in completely new and interesting directions. Last night on Coast to Coast, we were talking a lot about people who had just disappeared, never to be heard or seen from again. And I thought it was just going to be a couple of calls. It ended up being the whole, like, 3 hours with the calls. So never know what will happen when we do open lines. The Book of English Magic coming up. We'll talk about what it is about England that's unique to magic and magic that is unique to England on the way on Coast to Coast. This is Ian Punnett. Well, it's going to be an amazing night of magic coming up in just a few minutes. Open lines between now and then. You get to decide where the show is going to go. And all the wild card lines are open, so have at it. And I'm looking at a couple of news stories on the webpage tonight at coasttocoastam.com. And I just want you to think about one story that's in the New York Times about how Detroit could become Grow Town, reimagining Detroit as a agricultural center. They're talking about taking the large open tracts of land and turning that into farmland. This is something we've talked about a little bit, but it was actually a conversation that that I heard for the very first time on Coast to Coast with a couple of guests who have talked about this possibility of, and one of them was on this show on the night of January 1st of this year when we were doing the professional prediction show, or maybe it was shortly thereafter. But it was right around the beginning of the year of last year. We were talking about how they would take some of these abandoned factory buildings where there's five or six floors and they're not going to be attracting any industry coming up anytime soon. But they could take those floors and they could, just using light and air and water, and they could turn them into giant greenhouses. It's being done in other urban areas, and Detroit has, you know, a surplus of those type buildings, too. So kind of cool to see the New York Times talking about it. Not a big surprise to think that you would have heard about it here first on Coast to Coast. And I don't know if you've heard this at all, but it's interesting just for people who've been following the story. It actually isn't a new proclamation, but it is an amplification of an old understanding that Pope Benedict XVI has said that in special cases, such as that of prostitutes trying to prevent HIV infection, condoms can be justified under Catholic ethical thinking. It's part of a new book coming up about Pope Benedict, but I think that'll raise a few eyebrows in a few places. What about you? What's open lines for you tonight? We'll get to you coming up next on Coast to Coast. This is Ian Punnett. We'll go open lines with the people who've been waiting the longest. Josh on a first-time caller line in Aloha, Oregon. Is that right, Josh? Aloha?
Yeah, but it's Aloha, Oregon. You don't...
Okay, I just was making sure it wasn't Hawaii.
Sense, but... I'm sorry?
Yeah, go ahead. Open lines. Go ahead.
Okay, Ian Punnett, first all I want to say is Punnett for President 2012.
Yeah, thanks.
And
what did I ever do to you, Josh?
I'm sorry?
I said, what did I ever do to you? Go ahead.
Well, I just want to share a ghost story with you guys that actually happened to me. Is that cool?
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay, there was this one time because me and my brother used to sleep in this one room in some apartments in Hillsboro, and they were really creepy. We would hear things at night, would hear things downstairs, and we would be so creeped out about it. And this one night, I just fell asleep, right, and me and my brothers shared a mattress to go to sleep. And so one day, I would wake up. Just one time out of nowhere, like randomly, I just woke up and like decided to like look at the closet area where the closet was. And there happened to be some like old lady just glowing. She was glowing. I can't explain it, but she was glowing. That's the only thing I remember. And she was glowing and just waving me away, like just go back to sleep, you know, go away, just get away from me. And it creeped me out so bad. Like, you know what I mean? Like, I went back to sleep that night, but then the next night I was telling my parents about it and just telling them about it because it was real, like, it was a real experience. And, and my parents wouldn't believe me. And it was just like, that was the first time I've ever seen a ghost. That's why I want to say that ghosts are real.
Sure.
And they're not fake. You know what I mean?
I do. And I tell you what you're going to enjoy too, Josh, and I'll put you on hold here so you can hear it. I think you really enjoyed that book we talked about a few weeks ago called Holy Ghosts. And it was about a guy's experience with ghosts in the house that he grew up in and then he moved back in as an adult. His name was Gary Jansen, and I think it's just one of the best books I read in 2010. And he really tries to get into what are ghosts. From his case, it's from a Catholic perspective, and how do you reconcile ghosts and especially the experiences that his kids were having with ghosts. But it sounds very much like yours. I think you'd enjoy it. I think a lot of people would enjoy Holy Ghosts. Let's go to Joy in not far away in Enterprise, Oregon, on Coast to Coast. Go ahead, Joy.
Hi, Ian.
Hey.
Good program.
Thank you.
Interesting. I have a grandson named Josh, and he sounds a lot like little Josh that was just on.
It could be.
I was calling about the gentleman that called in about the ring on the outside of the moon.
Yes. He went outside. He said tonight that there was almost, Jim Childs called it like a moon dog, like we get sometimes a sun dog or a corona. What do you think it was?
We call them ring around the moon. And what happens is you'll find out the weather that day, then the next day it will be different kind of weather. Like today was clear up here, and probably tomorrow we're going to have snow.
Okay. That's when you get it. With a little extra moisture in the atmosphere, is that when you get it?
Yeah, probably.
Okay.
But I have seen them when there isn't moisture, which is really weird.
Go figure.
It's like
looking
at a dark sky and then it and the moon, and you can still just faintly see it.
Very good. Thank you, Joy. I don't know if everybody could see what the previous caller said, but he said it was pretty striking to go outside and seeing what was essentially a sun dog around the moon. Daniel is in Knoxville, Tennessee. Go Vols on Coast to Coast. Daniel?
Oh, yeah. I think usually the ring around the moon like that, I think that's usually attributed to ice crystals in the upper atmosphere. I was calling about the picture and that was on previously about this object. I think it may be a UFO. I mean, I've been an amateur astronomer for over 40 years, and when I'm looking at this object, it is shaped like a saucer. A well-circumscribed lesion, also as a chiropractor looking at an X-ray. But what gets me is when I look up above it, Ian, I'm seeing a second object up above the chemtrail. I mean, just beneath the chemtrail at about, not 12 o'clock high, but at about 11:30 o'clock high, there is a well-defined orb, a white orb up there, smaller than the UFO that we're looking at down here. And it's well-defined. I mean, I look at the picture on your site, and I've looked at it on his site, and I'm looking at it with a magnifying glass. I'm looking at it right now. And there's a second object in this picture.
Very cool.
You can get some other people. You can look at this and see what you think.
Oh, I like it.
There's a small little sphere right beneath the chemtrail, about the distance of six of these spaceships up. But it's just beneath the chemtrail at about 11:30. But
okay,
I want to comment on that and have you look at that.
All right, I'll do that. Now, in fact, I'll make sure that James Childs knows about that too, to look for that other object. Now, he would say, by the way, that was just an old fashioned contrail in that in the picture. He was looking at a plane and it was pretty high up in the atmosphere. And so for him, I think that's what he would say because he said that earlier. But I will tell him, and I will look at that, and you tell us what you see in it. If you go to coasttocoastam.com, photograph is listed under atmospheric anomaly. Some people think it was just kind of a trick of the lens. Maybe that's what it is, but regular guest here on Coast to Coast, James Childs, says he talked to some physicists, he talked to some other, pilot types, and nobody kind of knew what it was. So he's kind of curious to see what other feedback might be on it. Go take a look online. Hey, Mike.
Hey, Ian, good evening. I'm a recent listener to your show, and I was listening to your program that you had on yesterday regarding people who just walk out and disappear into nothing.
Yeah, it was chilling, some of the stories that people told folks that they loved who just, frankly, just with no context at all, just disappeared. What about you?
Well, my father was an airline pilot for Eastern Airlines. He started flying for Eastern after he got out of World War II. He was in the Army Air Force. Off duty, him and three other people were part owners of a Chase YC-122. Basically, what that was a military plane from the World War II era that had been converted into cargo use. And he was on contract with Lloyd Bridges, whom you may know of Sea Hunt fame.
I know Lloyd Bridges and his kids and everything,
right? They were They were filming a motion picture. They were going to be filming a motion picture off of Bimini Island. And they had contracted with my father and his partners to use his plane to fly their motion picture equipment out on location so they could begin filming the movie.
Okay.
There were three people on the there were three people on the aircraft when it was getting ready to depart from Fort Lauderdale Hollywood Airport. A fourth person, he was a local motel owner. He was a friend of my father and the other people. He started to get on the plane, and as he was about halfway up the stairs, he stopped and he froze for about 3 minutes, and then he backed off and said that he had something that he had to do, that he was not going to be able to make the flight. And nobody much said anything about it. He went to do his thing. The plane took off, and this was on January 11th, 1967. The plane, it took off and headed out toward Bimini Island. It got about 60 to 65 miles off of the coast of Florida, and it vanished into nowhere.
Hmm.
They never found any traces of an oil slick, wreckage of any kind, no survivors, no nothing.
And this was your, just want to make sure, was your dad on that plane?
My father was flying that aircraft.
So you lost your dad that day?
I lost my dad in the Bermuda Triangle. I do not know if you're familiar with the artist Richard Weiner. He wrote a book in 1975 called The Devil's Triangle.
Oh, yeah. Sure, I remember. I read that.
There is a paragraph in that book. There is a paragraph in one of the chapters devoted to my father.
I'll be darned. Well, that's a dubious honor, you know, in the sense that I know you would rather have your dad back, and they never found any wreckage. Go ahead.
They never found anything, and needless to say, I am an avid follower of anything that's on television, especially on the History Channel or the National Geographic Channel, anything that relates to the Bermuda Triangle, I am. I have tried to go online and do research. I have been able to pull up the FAA report about the accident, but I can't pull up anything other than it lists the aircraft, the number on the airplane, and that all of the pilots, including my father, were integrated. And other than that, I can pull up.
You're breaking up a little bit here, the cell phone breaking up a little bit. Let me just throw in one other thought, and that's I'll be curious now for the rest of the night about what that guy, what went through his head when he almost got on that plane and decided, not this one. Thank you, Mike. Thank you for sharing that, too. And I'm sorry that you're so tragically connected to that topic from last night. Daniel is in Roseville, California. Open lines on Coast to Coast before we get to the Book of English Magic. Daniel?
Hi, Ian.
Hey.
I'm calling to talk about that image. It does look like a lens flare, but I want to kind of correct people. I believe it's a chemtrail, not a contrail, because contrails disappear quicker.
I think I'm going to go with James Childs on that one. He's kind of an expert on aviation, and I don't know that. I think in the upper atmosphere, those contrails stick around for a long time. Yeah. Well, I don't. You can keep calling it that. It may be.
About an experience that I had too, real quick.
Okay, go ahead.
Okay, when I was a kid, I was laying in my bunk bed in my own room, and I woke up and I saw huge orbs all around the bed. I couldn't move, and I just blacked out. It was this most bizarre thing. And then I saw a giant triangle UFO, black triangle UFO with like red lights, orbs around it. It's crazy.
Huh. It's a very Spielberg-like kind of experience there with the orbs. That's how the best way I can relate to that. Very interesting. Well, thank you. I refer people back to the website, coasttocoastam.com. Go take a look at the photograph posted by James Childs. He doesn't know what it is. Maybe it's just a lens anomaly, but something's going on there. Casey is in St. Louis, wildcard line on Coast to Coast. Casey?
Yeah, hey, how you doing, man?
Doing all right. Where you want to take us?
Well, Well, I was just wondering what you think about the Reformation being undertaken by the Catholic Church right now, with the whole admission to the possibility of alien life and the use of condoms to spread or halt the spread of AIDS.
Well, I don't know I don't know that any of them are all that new. But what do you think about it?
Well, I think it's I think maybe Christianity is gearing up for a Reformation for the future to keep religion relevant. I really think it's a reformation. I think this is all adding up into a slow kind of a new period of reformation in the church. I don't know when the last one I think took place in the 1600s. So,
well,
kind of overdue. And
you're talking about the Protestant Reformation. Remember that's much more about a schism than a reformation, in the sense that the Catholic Church, you know, there was a break off from the Catholic Church on that. I don't know that we would get another, you know, any sort of Reformation in terms of some sort of schism or even a major challenge to the theology of the church. I mean, I think it's fair to point out that while, yes, there is this story about how in this new book coming up, Pope Benedict XVI had said, you know, by the way, it's okay in the context of Christian ethics to use condoms to stop the spread of AIDS. It's not a new position. It's been around for a while. It's just it's whenever a pope takes the moment to amplify that, it underlines it and draws attention to it. As for the belief about alien life, maybe we are being prepared for something. Maybe they know something more than we don't know. But I think that thought's been around for a long time, that if God is God of the universe, then of course any form of life would fall under within God's purview. So, I mean, I don't think we've ever, at least I've never been taught to believe that God is just the God of the earth. Now, how alien forms relate to the divine, I don't know. But that's been part of a subject in Star Trek for a long time. You know, how would other planets think about what is divine? And would they have the same experiences? I remember it's kind of in the movie Serenity. There's a big emphasis on that in the movie Serenity, if you've never seen it. It's a great series, but based on the Firefly TV series. Roy is in Marion, North Carolina on Coast to Coast. Roy?
Hi, Ian.
Hey.
Thanks, and thanks for having a program tomorrow on the JFK assassination. I'm wondering if you've seen two recent books on the subject. One is by Father James W. Douglas, a Jesuit, titled JFK and the Unspeakable,
No.
Why He Died and Why It Matters.
Oh, I think that would find that very interesting. No, I haven't heard
of
that.
Oh, my gosh. It has a small printing, but it was in some bookstores, and it is
okay.
Amazing.
All right. I like that. I'll look for that. And that's for tomorrow, of course, on Coast to Coast. It's sort of an annual tradition. Yeah, there's been a couple of great books. I think one of the books that I'll be thinking about a lot, we just were featuring again a couple of weeks ago on Coast to Coast, and that's the book Family of Secrets. Now, a lot of people don't want to read the book because it has to do with the Bush family, and they're sensitive about one thing or another. But the material in Family of Secrets about the CIA involvement in the death of JFK, it was a paradigm shifter. For me, anyway, take a look at it, and you'll see it's very done differently than in any other book I've ever seen on the subject, Family of Secrets. Well, that brings us to time. I think we have time for Robert, if he can be quick. Robert?
Yes, hello.
Got to be very quick here, Robert.
Okay, and thanks for taking the call. I wanted to comment on an experience I had with Spirit while traveling. I used to go down to Brazil a lot on business, and I stayed in a normal tower hotel nearby where I worked. And it was a suite, a hotel room. I'd stayed in this hotel several times. And I came in for the evening. It was about 11 o'clock. And in the corner of the room, sort of where the wall meets the ceiling, I sort of felt
something. We're going to have about 25 more seconds, so go ahead.
Okay. I felt something sort of odd, and when I looked, there was sort of a black spirit, some sort of a being there, although I couldn't make it out. It was sort of a blur, and I just wanted to comment on that. And that
sounds like the classic kind of a shadow person kind of a story, Robert, that black blur But time prevents more exploration of that. Hope you get back in sometime on Coast to Coast. All right, where did the time go so fast? The Book of English Magic coming up next. You're going to be amazed at this. The stories of England and its unique magic next on Coast to Coast. This is Ian Punnett.